numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin in the house. Kelly, what's going on with my shirt here? It's like nightclub shirt here.
Lose a few more buttons because we got a big photo shoot later. That's
we do. Plunging collars and all. Should be fun. Yeah, right, you bring your, did we agree on our pact?
I'm all set up over there, man. We got all my stuff over there.
Kelly, just to let you in behind the curtain here, Kelly and I have a pact where management told us to bring a certain amount of clothes, and Kelly and I sort of winked at each other like, we're bringing that or we're not bringing that one? Got it? Yeah, we're all good. Okay.
The closet might have been a little thin on some of this
stuff.
We're
just going to see if we both agreed and came through on our agreement. That's what we're going to see.
Like, I didn't just have like a giraffe suit, like, you know, like costume standing by in the closet.
Gar animals. The Bidlin closet. What a time of year. Basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs. Obviously, the NFL draft next week, now a mere 9 days away. Trying to make a bet on that number two pick, but I just have no conviction. We'll get into all the NFL draft changes coming up. We got to talk about this. This is so random. But this, if you like a good match-fixing or game-fixing story, we have one for you in China.
Yeah,
good Lord.
Also follow up to the chess story we talked about like 6 months ago.
Oh, do you have it?
Yeah, if you guys were, no, not another one, but I remember sending you that text over the weekend, right? Where the
Beads Part Two is what you mean?
Beads Part Two. That guy has moved on from chess to poker.
To
so
poker,
watch
I saw
out if
that.
You're playing poker.
I
now.
Saw that. He's all about poker now.
My little little signaling going on.
What's the sound you made? What is it? That's what it does?
Yeah.
You seem to have some experience with that. Interesting. Andy McNeil on hockey on the NHL playoffs. He was 1-1 yesterday, and he got off to a good start on the third one. So he hit brilliantly on Edmonton in the first period. Edmonton ends up losing in just absolutely dramatic fashion. What a miraculous win by the LA Kings last night, who win it, who tie it with 17 seconds left, and end up winning it in the second overtime. Just an amazing. I mean, we just have to really just tip the hat to the Stanley Cup playoffs. They are so awesome. They're just absolutely incredible.
They really are. I love this time of year where I can have NBA going on a TV, NHL on another TV. I just have no idea how to personally bet it. You know, from a bet, like, I love watching it.
Yeah.
From a personal handicapping, I can't do it at all. So thank God for guys like Jake and Andy.
By the way, I conflated the two games. Edmonton loses in Edmonton ends up losing in overtime Edmonton loses to the Kings last night, yes, in overtime. But the double overtime game was the Wild and the Stars, which was maybe even more incredible. Obviously not the same finish in regulation. But that game came down to, you know, Mason Marchmont being turned away by Brock Faber, who had just been playing for the University of Minnesota against Quinnipiac in the NCAA championship. And now he's playing for the Wild, and he just gets a stick on a shot. Philip Gustafson saved 52 shots yesterday and ends up with Ryan Hartman, who barely could skate, ends up getting it past Jake Ottinger, who was great too with 45 saves, but the Wild come from behind to beat the Stars 3-2. So it was just amazing late night hockey games. From my perspective, I'm just the layman's hockey guy where I'd bet dogs on all of these. Like the Kings going into overtime, like I'll take a piece of the Kings going into overtime. They were plus 135 or something like that. I took a small piece of that. But Andy will give us the much more heady description. So we got Edmonton first period yesterday, even though they end up losing. He did lose on the Islanders. They did not get it done against the Hurricanes yesterday. But he's off to a good start with the Bruins. Remember, series giving up a game and a half. And so the Bruins start their postseason campaign off with a 3-1 win against the Panthers. The Boston Bruins now on the postseason. Not on the postseason, but on the full season now with that game last night, 44-1-3 when they score the first goal in a game. 44-1-3.
Dang.
Is that good?
Dang.
So Andy will give us his thoughts as the playoffs move on tonight, but just a great start.
I saw that the Panthers in that game, I don't know if they finished this way, but it was well into the third period. Way more sogs than the Bruins, Gil.
Kelly loves his sogs, everybody.
Love the sogs, but, you know, you can have all the sogs you want, but goals are what matter.
Loves his shots on goal. And then the NBA resumed last night. Philly didn't look very good at all, the Sixers, and yet still managed to coast by the Brooklyn Nets to take a 2-0 lead in their best of seven first round series. The 3-6 series, if you will, of the Eastern Conference. Philly ends up winning it 96-84 and ends up getting the cover somehow in the process. Game went way under the total of 211.5. So good on the Sixers, doing what they're supposed to do. Tyrese Maxey, 33, leading the way for the Sixers. Tobias Harris, 20-12. Joel Embiid, 20-19 off the glass. 56-33 rebounding advantage for the Sixers is all you really need to know. 13-5 on the offensive boards, overcoming 19 turnovers. I mean, they committed 19 turnovers. They're like, that's okay, we'll still cover.
I don't understand what the – I took a little bit of the Sixers live. I don't understand what the Nets are doing defensively. Because they've started off the first half of both of these games, both the first two games, double-teaming Joel Embiid, like, every possession. In game one, it didn't really work. They got away from it. Game two, it was working.
And then they haphazardly just went away from
it. And then they went away from it.
Yeah.
It was very bizarre. And then they get scorched in the second half because of it.
You want some Nets 15-1, down 2-0?
Going back to
Yeah, you're good.
Good.
Cameron Johnson was great, 28 in defeat. But the big stat, Philly outscored Brooklyn 18-0 on second chance points. That's really all you need to know about that. So that series moves on to game three. They'll go back to Brooklyn. And Philly is a small favorite, I believe, in game three as it's posted up here.
They're 4.5.
Four and a half
on the road.
Yeah. Later this week, that game will be on Friday, is it? No.
I was going to say Thursday.
Thursday?
Thursday, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thursday's game three, Saturday game four.
Yep.
Okay. Now, the Warriors and the Kings. Again, tip of the cap to the Sacramento Kings. Even for those of us who have the Warriors winning the West, the Warriors cannot get a defensive stop to save their lives in either of these two first games when they need one. And Sacramento took the Warriors' punch early in this game. Kings end up winning it 114-106. Warriors got up to a 2.5-point pre-flop favorite in this. Sabonis, 24. De'Aaron Fox, 24. By the way, Fox has scored or assisted on 97 of the Kings' 243 points in the first two games. Malik Monk, 18. Kevin Werder, 15. Davion Mitchell, 14. Harrison Barnes, 13. Just balanced scoring all across the board for the Kings. Curry, 28 in defeat, but 3 of 13 from behind the arc. Klay was killing it late from behind the arc. Amazing shots from Klay. Wiggins, 22. Klay ended up with 21. But the Warriors had 20 turnovers. And the Kings outscored them 25-9 on points off turnovers. 41-14 points off turnovers in this series. And again, if you think, what's the combined margin in both of these games? 11 points. That 41-14 off turnovers is everything. The Warriors had gone 27 playoff series without being down 2-0 in a best of seven. It actually predates the Steph Curry years. Well, that streak has been snapped. And teams up 2-0 in a best-of-seven series historically in the NBA, 308-26.
That's not bad.
In advancing. So the Warriors now are in uncharted territory. But now this is where it gets interesting, because we always knew the Kings would be slight favorites in their games at home, and it turns out the Warriors were a slight favorite last night in the end. And we knew the Warriors would be big favorites in the games back in San Francisco, and in fact they are. Mm-hmm. Has not changed that. Now, the series price becomes Kings minus 160, Warriors plus 135, knowing that the Warriors are going to be big favorites in games 3, 4, and if necessary, 7. The only question becomes, can they take 3, 4, and 6, pardon me, can they take either games 5 or 7 back in Sactown if they're able to hold serve? Now, here's the thing. I have absolutely no, but the big thing, by the way, last night's game we're avoiding. Yeah, I shouldn't avoid it. The whole Draymond thing.
Yeah.
Stomping on Sabonis. Sabonis grabs his leg. Sure, he did. And the refs got it right. They called, you know, that was wrong of Sabonis. So they teched him up. But then Draymond gets the correct flavor. He gets ejected. He's just absolutely, I just don't understand this dude sometimes. Because the whole thing with the crowd, and I'm a Warriors guy, but it's just like, okay, Draymond. Hey, you're not fooling anybody. No one, you know, after the game, he's sort of like, he grabbed my leg. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Do we have Draymond?
Yeah, we got Draymond. You want to hear?
Here's Draymond on Draymond.
Can you just walk us through what happened there?
My leg got grabbed. Second time in two nights. Referees just watch it. I got to land my foot somewhere. and I'm not the most flexible person, so that's not stretching that far.
So you didn't really see where you were stepping? You just
I can only step so far and pulling my leg away, so
what was,
it is what it is.
What was the explanation they gave? I know they gave him a technical, then obviously you
too. The explanation was I stumped too hard.
And that explanation is correct. I needed to land my foot somewhere. Stop. All right, so Warriors are plus 135.
Were you okay with all the calls?
Yes.
Okay.
Every one of them.
I was too. I'm very glad they did what they teed up Sabonis.
Yes.
I thought that was going to be skipped by at first. I'm very glad they did that. I would have been okay with a flagrant one on Draymond.
As opposed to the flagrant two.
As opposed to the two where he got booted.
Yeah, but he went off.
I mean, the guy's grabbing his leg. Like, I actually don't mind a little bit. Like, hey, I'm going to give you something a little extra. If you're holding on to me like this, it's a good way for someone to get injured.
Just because Christian Laettner got away with it doesn't mean that he should.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I'm glad to hear you say it because there are some of these Warriors antics just like, Draymond, like, we've seen it for so long,
dude,
man.
Dude, you're not fooling me. Here's the question. Are you taking the Warriors plus 135? Do you think that they will hold serve in all three of their games, 3, 4, and 6? And can figure out a way, because they weren't far away from winning either of these two, right?
Yep. I'm gonna skip your answer and go to a different question. I don't know, Gil, but did I bet him in game 3? Hell yes, I did. Did I bet him in the first half of game 3?
Yeah.
Hell yes, I did.
Yeah.
Warriors too experienced, too good. They'll come back and look good at home.
If they won by 20, would anybody be surprised?
Not at all.
No.
I expect them to.
Wow. I like it. I like the conviction. I don't know if I expect 20, but I expect a resounding win. We'll come back, a little baseball break with Mark Borchardt. What's he got today? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I like your Warriors conviction in game number 3. I like that. You've already bet it first half. You've already bet it full game.
Sure, I'm going to be the only person.
The only guy.
The only person who lays the points with the Warriors.
But I like that you've done it so quickly, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And again, if we are to sort of believe what the lines on these games are, right? More or less, obviously the Warriors ended up being favorites last night. But it reminds one of a World Series that predated both of us, Kelly, which is, and who could forget, right? The 1960 World Series, which famously ended with a Bill Mazeroski Pittsburgh Pirates home run. But the Pirates beat the vaunted Yankees in that series in 7 games, and it was one of those series where, obviously, comparing sports here, but the scores of those games, the Pirates won their 4 games 6-4, 3-2, 5-2, and 10-9. And the Yankees won their 3, 16-3, 10-0, and 12-0. So we'll see if that's this series. I don't know.
Could be.
Or the Kings come out, they got nothing to lose, and they roll them. I don't know. I doubt that happens, though. Let's talk some baseball. See what I did there? A little segue to baseball. Mark Borchardt from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert at Base Winner, basewinner.com, the Base Winner podcast. Anything else, Base Winner, we need to know about, Mark?
MLB show with Jason Weingarten today. Come on.
Oh, yes. Please promote. What is that? You and Jason doing a show?
BetUS has sponsored a show that Jason and I are on. It's called the MLB show. It's a YouTube show. And it's been really fun to do this year. I'm having a great time doing it. And I think the best part about that show is you can come in and ask us questions, which is fun.
Oh, do you take emails or live phone calls?
A live chat room. There's a live chat room on the YouTube channel. And so you can join it live and you can ask any within reason, anything you want. And we'll answer it. It's really fun. It's actually really, really interactive. And it, gives me a chance to explain numbers. You know, sometimes I have a model, lean or it looks good on the model, but I decide not to play it. And it gives me a chance to clarify, you know, the reasons why I'm not playing it. So it's cool.
All right. Usually we wait to get your picks at the end. Let's reverse this. Let's get what you are playing today on a relatively full slate of Major League Baseball. What do you got?
Yeah, it's a tricky card, but there's a couple games that I like. I really like Atlanta. I love Spencer Strider. You know, we talked about him and NL Cy Young, and he's looking good so far. I've got him number one in the base winner ratings. Actually have him, and this is one of the lowest numbers from a run suppression standpoint that I've ever had in the model, 76% better than average. And if you look at his pitching plus, 98 percentile, nothing wrong there. And an ISO power allowed, this is last 600 plate appearances. And he's best in baseball on that from a starting pitcher standpoint. 0.083 ISO power allowed puts him in the top percentile there. And Blake Snell, there's really nothing for me wrong with Blake Snell. He's just not as good as Spencer Strider. I think the offense is right now, Atlanta has the edge, and I think they'd be really even, maybe even San Diego would have the edge as Tatis gets back in the lineup, but he's not coming back till the 20th. And if you kind of want to get tricky with this game, I'm going to play it just straight up, Atlanta minus 125 full game. I think we got a better bullpen too playing Atlanta. But if you want to get this is kind of a good play. And I talked to with Chris Andrews, who I've worked with a lot over the years, and he says that these correlated parlays with a really good starting pitcher and the under is something that he takes a look at least he did, you know, 6 years ago when I worked with him. And I think that this is a good correlated parlay. You play Atlanta to the under, that would pay plus 240 on the parlay, Gil.
Were Chris Andrews days at Against the Number? Was that where that was?
Yeah, at Against the Number. And we worked together. It was so fun working with him. I love Chris so much.
Have you, by the way, you bring up the Braves and the Padres. Have you been keeping an eye on Juan Soto? I mean, this kind of buttresses your handicap here on the Braves. But he can't hit anything all of a sudden. Are you seeing this? So he's on the last five games, he is 0-for-21. 0-for-21
Yeah, that's
now.
You know what? I'm not really familiar with that number, Gil. It's pretty interesting. You know, I think, you know, these guys go through peaks and valleys, and I don't think you want to get too focused on it. But if you're looking at something that, to me, correlate, like stabilizes quickly, I would look at his strikeout rate, because you can do 150 plate appearances. Even some would say 100 to 120 plate appearances would get you a stable number there. But I tend to look at, from a time frame standpoint, like ISO power for batters, 500 plate appearances. So I don't know. The only other thing is with that is sometimes it indicates an injury, Gil.
Could be. Just something to keep an eye on. Speaking of strikeout rate.
Real quick, Gil, this is just a quick note for people out there. If you're looking to bet this game, this is like the ultimate shop around game today, because I see a minus 125 and a minus 155 on the Braves. So, yeah, make sure you shop around.
Wow, where's that minus 155? That's quite the outlier.
MGM.
Yeah, yeah. Well, don't bet that if you want to bet the Braves. We talked about this before with strikeout rates, because this is early in the season. We don't want to react too much to short term, even though I brought up the Soto thing. We certainly don't want to react too much to anybody's Fangraphs page. But since you bring up strikeout rates, is that what stabilizes for you the quickest when it comes to pitchers as well? In other words, we can look at a pitcher's FIP and XFIP and all these other metrics right now, but it's still small sample size. But the strikeout rate, you actually read into a little bit at this point?
Well, no, I think you can get a pretty stable, from an alpha standpoint. I won't get into the actual probability and mechanics of it, but you can get a stable number of about 120 plate appearances. I use 150. I just have that 30 more to get a stable number. So it goes back to last year. That's kind of what I'm powering the model with, last 150 plate appearances for the strikeout percentage for these pitchers. And that's what I would look at if you're looking at like a number that maybe doesn't have a huge sample size. You can get a pretty good read on a pitcher and a batter at about 120 plate appearances, Gil.
Okay. So not quite there yet, but moving up on that kind of thing, in other words.
Yeah. I mean, the sample kind of goes back to last season. So maybe, you know, some guy, you know, increased his velocity or something. So there would be some noise in that because of that. But
Okay. Just to give people who are new to baseball betting, who are like going to hear lots of people give all kinds of stats from this year, it doesn't really become meaningful and that's the quickest one, the strikeout rate. So the other stuff would actually take longer to manifest in terms of this season's
stats. Yeah, walks is like 350 plate appearances before it stabilizes, and I think ISO power for pitchers is a little bit different, 600 plate appearances, and then batters you could probably go down to 400 plate appearances for that, Gil.
All right, so think about that, boys and girls. Like it really is. We are super duper early in this point in reading into anything. So you like the Braves, and again, Kelly pointing out, please shop around for all these, but in particular, you might find some games where it's ridiculously wide in variance. What else do you like today?
I'm going to play the Royals today, Gil, and you know, this Royals team has not gotten off to a good start. I've got it priced in my model -140. It's in the market right around a pick'em, so I think that's a good play. You know, the interesting thing when I was looking at this game, Gil, is Corey Seager's strained hamstring, and it says he's going to be out for like 4 weeks.
I
thought, gosh, that's one hell of a hamstring strain, Gil.
Well, it's, you know, those are lingering injuries, but to say four right off the bat, you're right. It's sort of like, oh, this could be bad. So,
like, I've had hamstring issues throughout my life, and I've never been out for 4 weeks. I thought that was a crazy. So he must be really hurting on that hamstring.
And then, of course, this is not neither here nor there with this game. But then DeGrom last night with the sore wrist had to leave after four innings. So it's like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, that's too bad too. Because I hope he's okay. I got DeGrom in the Cy Young pool here.
Yeah. Well, that's always the thing. So hopefully he's okay. So Royals plus money here. You're going with them.
Yeah, I think that's a good play, Gil.
All right, so those two then, the Royals and the Rangers, both are, well, this one's 7:40 Eastern, the Padres and the Braves game. The Braves pick is a couple hours after that. Real quick before you go here, because I asked this of Spore yesterday, and I want to bring it up again. The A's are epically bad. Their adjusted season win total today is 55.5. Is that too high, in your opinion?
I honestly don't know because I haven't run the sims. I'm not going to run the simulations until the end of the month, Gil. But one thing that I would say is I think Washington's worse. Washington's
ooh, okay.
Their pitching is just awful. I think they've got like Chad Kuhl, Josiah Gray, Corbin. They're like in the bottom five of the pitchers. I've never seen that before. Handicapping where you have three of the five pitchers in the bottom five. It's just awful. And their bullpen's not any better. And their bullpen's worse than baseball.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if the Nationals adjusted season win total is up here on the fly. And it is. I don't see it. I don't think they. Oh, yeah, it is. Here it
is. There's a bet like Washington 60. Versus Oakland.
60.
There's a bet Washington versus Oakland. Take Washington.
Take Washington.
To be worse.
To be worse. Yeah. Meanwhile, their adjusted win total 6 games higher. Thank you, Mark. NFL Draft next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's a lot to bet on in the next 30 days, and for a limited time, you can subscribe to VSiN for only $9.99. That gets you insight into daily baseball best bets, NBA and NHL playoffs, the Kentucky Derby, and the upcoming NFL Draft. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Also, a top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Russell Johnson. He says, I expect that the next time we have a walkover in a tennis match, we need to see the Draymond Green highlight of him stomping on Domantas Sabonis. Yeah. Speaking of tennis, by the way, I have a couple of tennis picks that haven't gone off yet. Do you want to put those on? A couple clay court tennis tournaments around the world. By the way, the Barrera match, which we gave out yesterday, is now being played 24 hours later. So we'll see how that goes from yesterday.
Did I spell Bernabe Zapata Morales' name right?
You did. Nicely done.
Did I pronounce it right?
Bernabe Zapata Miralles. Respect you to go full Barcelona pronunciation
okay,
on it.
Okay, got it. I'll work that in next time.
So we have Zapata Miralles against Roberto Bautista Agut, who Brad Gilbert calls Robbie Bats. So we got Zapata Miralles at +120, really good clay court numbers. Bautista Agut not nearly playing up to his best these days. And then Emma Raducanu at +117, who's gotten us a bunch of wins this year on clay now, going up against Elena Ostapenko. That one is in Stuttgart. Always sort of shaky when you go against Ostapenko. It's very feisty, but I like Raducanu there, plus 117. So those are the two tennis matches. Continuing with the tweets at Beating the Book, Alan Mitchell, good morning, gentlemen. If you touch on the draft today, what round do you think Stetson Bennett will go? Thank you. Remember, there was a moment where people thought he wasn't going to get drafted at all. I have no idea.
I have no idea. I think what's really tough with guys like him and Hendon Hooker, where I've heard, I've heard a couple things about Stetson Bennett of people, like, teams are really high on him. Mm-hmm. Like, they think he's got one of the better arms, downfield arms in this draft class. But what do you do with a guy who's 25 years old, right? That's what makes it difficult with those two.
I would not even hazard a guess. By the way, this is a very special.
I would not bet that. I know that market's posted everywhere. I wouldn't bet it. Would you be shocked if he went? I wouldn't be shocked if he went in the third round or didn't get drafted at all.
That's right. That's a probably good read. Anywhere from the third and beyond could be beyond.
Right, and therefore, I don't really think you can bet that.
By the way, very special draft for me because I, you know how like people are the draftees are there at their house, at their homes with their family members and everything, waiting to get picked. For day three, I will be in that situation with a young man who I have known since he was a wee lad, since he was born.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I used to give him baths and stuff. So, like, a third day of the draft, I'm going to be with him and see if he gets drafted.
Running back?
Running back.
Okay.
Yeah. Says he got a phone call from a team.
There we go.
Asking for his number.
Nice.
So, we'll see. You know how teams are with that, though. They could, like, completely be like, hey, can I get your phone number? And then they never call. We'll see. Brandon Webb. A new idea for a drinking game. Take a drink every time Mark Borchard, base winner, says something anti-Cardinals. He didn't today, though, did he? No. New York Mets 16. Scott, do you think that at the current ages / stages of their careers, the Sacramento Kings have better shot makers than the Warriors? Oh, that's an interesting question. Better shooters? No.
No.
Better shot makers? Boy, I mean, Darren Fox.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked better scorers.
Yeah.
Then yes, probably.
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 Because Fox and Monk can do whatever they want, it feels like, at least in this series.
Actually, no, I'm still gonna give respect to Golden State. No, no. Golden State still has that advantage.
Well, again, it depends. How are we defining this? Shooters, no. Shot makers, I mean, Fox and Monk versus Curry. Curry's as it can make whatever shot he wants also.
Yeah, but Curry, Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, if we're stacking them up, you just can't go as deep on the...
Klay doesn't have to bounce
the
basketball.
I love Sacramento. You just can't go... Yeah. When you talk like that, we can't go as deep with them.
It's a good question, though.
It is a good question.
And Jay Rutrow, citing a report from Michael Phillips, at the new FedEx Field Sportsbook, the gamblers are beating the house so far. And he quips, said, only Dan Snyder's sportsbook would lose money. That's exactly right. And Jamie Leva says, San Diego happened to Soto. The nice weather and bitchin' burritos, change your man. No East Coast hunger, he said. That could be the reason. Before we get to some draft thoughts here, I tease this at the top. We don't really get a good, and by good I mean bad, game-fixing story here in the U.S., but listen to this story from China. And this involves former NBA players Michael Beasley and Eric Bledsoe. It doesn't involve them, but they're involved in these teams. So two Chinese basketball association sides were thrown out of the playoffs. Both teams were thrown out of the playoffs yesterday after a probe into match-fixing allegations. The two sides, and you know these teams well, Kelly, you can break them down, mm-hmm. The Shanghai Sharks mm-hmm. and the Jiangsu Dragons, are believed to have conspired to throw games during their best of three playoff series last week. The Sharks are led by Beasley and Bledsoe, Michael Beasley and Eric Bledsoe, if you wondered where they were, that's where they are. They rested their starters and all their foreign players after a commanding Game 1 win over the Dragons on April 9th. It was a bizarre decision because they could have advanced the next round of the playoffs with a win in Game 2. And so consequently, the Sharks dropped that match. They lost by 7, setting up a decisive Game 3. And then in Game 3, Jiangsu kept the pressure up, taking a 196 lead with a little over 90 seconds left in the game. And then the Dragons proceeded to turn the ball over 5 consecutive times, spurring a 10-0 Sharks run, and they end up winning the game. By the way, Jiangsu's coach did not bother calling a timeout during the meltdown, looking, quote, imposed on the bench without making any guidelines, watching the bizarre performances of his players. The Dragons would go on to lose 108-104. So here's the thing. So part of the reason that they are claiming that Shanghai threw the second game was because Bledsoe had a suspension, and if the first series lasted one game longer, that meant that his suspension would be one game fewer in the subsequent series if they were to advance. But that doesn't explain why Zhang Su would then come back in game three and just turn the ball over five consecutive times and let them win.
Right.
Yao Ming.
Because you still have to advance.
Right. Now, Yao Ming, if you're wondering, is the president
somehow
of this
the best
league.
I feel like this is the best part of it. It's just that Yao Ming is still a thing.
He's
and,
the
like,
president.
Very much in charge.
Yeah,
yes.
Of the Chinese Basketball Association. And he expressed shock and disappointment, saying a quite saddening weekend. Both teams have a long history. The more we talk about this, the more grief he feels.
This is a rhetorical question because I know you and I have read like basically the same articles. I just don't really get how is it match fixing?
I don't get it.
It just sounds like one team had a really dumb strategy that backfired in their face.
Well, no. The team with the strategy, with Bledsoe, that actually ended up paying off because they won game three in the end because of the other team's five consecutive turnovers. So they threw game two.
Oh, I read this wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they won game one.
They did.
Rested him through or lost game two.
Correct.
And then lost game three.
Oh, no. They won game three because the other team turned the ball over five straight times. So that part makes sense. That strategy paid off. But if that's the case, you could be right that the team that just had five, I mean, it's possible to have five possessions, you know, where you turn the ball over consecutively. It's just that the coach just sat there and was like, oh, I guess we're going to turn it over again. Well, that's too bad. Oh, look, we turned it over.
Not called timeout or anything. Tough season, whatever.
All right, let's go to NFL draft here. Bryce Young's going to be the first pick. Are we resigned to it?
Minus 1,400? Is that what we're up to?
And it's even off the board in some spots. And he canceled all his trips to other teams, which is why this went through the roof. The real question now becomes, who's number two? And, Kelly, I want to bet. I have six different NFL draft prop bets. I want to bet this one, but I legitimately don't know what's going to happen there. We have Nick Caserio, the Houston Texans general manager, commenting on that very pick.
We've received some calls, actually, on the number two pick. So I think our job and responsibility is to listen and not rule anything out. And I think whatever the end result is come Thursday, you know, we'll be prepared to go either way. So if you want to quote me, are we open for business? I'd say we're open to listening. So if you want to change the vocabulary this year a little bit. But we have received a few calls. And again, I think our responsibility is to listen, to try to take the information in and just make the right decision.
Okay, so here's the deal. So it sounds like we'll make a trade if somebody wows us with something. We won't if someone doesn't. And then if we keep it, if someone trades up, it's probably for a quarterback, clearly for a quarterback. But if we keep it, if we're not wowed, are they drafting a defensive player like Will Anderson, who's the short shot to go number two, by the way? Or are they actually going to draft a quarterback because that's absolutely what they need, even though everybody says they're not really sold on any of their quarterbacks? I have no idea. None.
Here's my guess on likelihood of what happens. First, they trade the pick. Second, they draft a quarterback, and third would be them drafting a defensive player. And I know that goes against a lot of what
Oh, you were ranking your...
Yes, so of what
it,
I think will
again.
Happen. Most likely to happen, they trade the pick.
Yeah.
Second most likely, they still draft a quarterback, no matter regardless of what they keep saying.
Yeah.
And third most likely is they draft a defensive player.
Well, if that's the case, what quarterback you betting on? Oh, we got to run. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, authorized gaming partner of the NBA, hits the court with a special playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a one-game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25. If you miss one leg, enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the postseason. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get back a $25 bonus bet if one leg in your one-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Washington, D.C., Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We'll talk more NFL draft after we were rudely interrupted moments ago. We'll get back to it. But Paul Carr joins us now for some Champions League action today and tomorrow. He is the Senior Director of Content for True Media Sports, also the host of the Expected Value podcast. And he joins us now from an airport somewhere in this great land. Where are you, Paul?
I am at the brand new Kansas City International Airport. Opened about 6 weeks ago. Everything's sparkly, shiny. It's good to have a real airport in Kansas City.
There you go. Good to have a real airport in Kansas City.
What's the best restaurant slash bar you've seen so far, Paul?
Oh, there's like four barbecue places. I've only had one of them. I forget what it's called. Meat Mitch's, something like that. That's really good. So you can't go too wrong with any barbecue place that survives in Kansas City.
Meat Mitch's, by the way.
Do you realize that, though? Whenever you go to a new or a renovated airport, they always like feature some fancy new like restaurant or bar area or something.
Very on brand with the barbecue. Yep. All right, so, Paul, last week you split, as I recall, you split your Champions League picks. You went 2-1 in the Premier League. These are the second legs of the quarters. So this becomes a little squirrely, right, because teams have different motivations.
Correct. Always squirrely, because a loss is okay in a lot of cases, as long as you don't lose by, you know, a bunch of goals or something. And all the default bets, I say this every time, and I will continue to, because we've all made this mistake at some point. All the default bets are for 90 minutes. So if the game is tied on aggregate after 90 minutes and goes to extra time, usually those don't count. Anything that happens in extra time won't count unless you play like a 2-qualifier, 2-advanced bet for one of the teams.
All right, these are at 3 p.m. Eastern today, 12 p.m. Pacific. Real Madrid taking on Chelsea. Now, where this applies here is that in the first game, right, in the first game, Real Madrid won this 2-0. So Real Madrid is not incentivized necessarily to just go out on the pitch and crush them. They can afford a tie. They can afford a one-goal loss here, correct?
That is correct. I don't think that's what's going to happen, and this is mostly a play against Chelsea. I mean, they're in the middle of the table in the Premier League. Since Frank Lampard took over, they've been outscored 5-1, and the underlying numbers aren't a whole lot better. They've been outshot by about a 2-1 margin. I just don't think Chelsea can get, you know, more than a goal here at best. And Real Madrid has this Champions League devil magic that we've seen so many times. They won it last year, knocking out Man City in the semis. They won 5-2 at Liverpool in the last round. They don't care. They just do Real Madrid things. They're going to get, I think, at least a goal, quite easily a couple. So I still like Real Madrid to win this, even though they don't need to. But they're not the kind of team that's just going to hang on to a 2-0 lead or give up a goal and then hang on for the one-goal lead on aggregate. They're going to go for it. So I like Real Madrid to win here. I played it at plus 145. You can find probably a little better number out there today. I saw some plus 150, plus 155. So I still like Real Madrid to win here.
All right, so that's the aggregate schmaggregate play of the day on Real Madrid there at plus 145. Right. Snubbing your nose at aggregate scoring. All right, so last week, as I recall, you went under in the Napoli-Milan game. It did end up being under as Milan won it 1-0. You're going back to the well.
Yep, I think I said it last week, and I'll say it again. It feels very square to take two Italian teams to play a defensive game that goes under, but I still think that's the play here. Napoli's really struggled offensively the last four games, only about four expected goals total and only two actual goals. Now, part of that's because their best striker, Victor Osimhen's been out. He came back for a few minutes at the end of their game over the weekend, so he may start, but I still don't think he's at 100%. And Milan's been pretty decent defensively for the past few months, not giving up more than about one expected goal in most of their games. So, you know, Milan has the 1-0 lead. They're going to be very happy for a 0-0 draw or scratch out one goal on the counter or something. Napoli, frankly, would take a 1-0 win in regulation and get to extra time and take your chances. So I just think it feels like another classic matchup of Italian teams, 1-0 one way or the other type of game. So I like under 2.5. I could play this at minus 135. I'd play it down a little bit worse.
All right, both games at the same time concurrently today, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific, stateside. Then tomorrow we have another couple games. The Benfica game last week. You had Benfica, I believe, last week, right?
Yeah, I did.
And they got beat 2-0. By Inter, and so
Inter Milan.
And so they meet again today, and it's again the same situation that we had when we were just talking about the Real Madrid Chelsea game, right? So there's aggregate scoring, but you're playing a total again here.
Yeah, I'd lean Benfica in this one actually, but I still like the total under 2.5. Minus 110 is my price. You can get I saw minus 105 out there this morning. again, Inter has been a really weird team where they're underachieving in the league based on kind of what their underlying numbers suggest and overachieving in Champions League. They probably shouldn't have gotten by Porto. They, you know, easily could have drawn Benfica, but somehow won it 2-0. So, but I think Inter's going to lock things up. They're not a great attacking team. And Benfica's shown a propensity to go for it. You know, they don't have anything to lose. They're going out as it is. So I just think it's going to be an Inter back on their heels, defend okay. Maybe they give up a goal. You know, maybe it's a 1-0 type of thing. Or maybe it even gets, you know, 2-0 Benfica or something and gets to stoppage time. Or gets to extra time, rather. So I like the under. I just think it's going to be tight. I kind of lean Benfica, to be honest. I'll probably end up playing them at, like, plus 250 for the win. Because a 1-0 win puts Inter through but gets you the win on Benfica. So, but the under 2.5 minus 110 is my play here.
Under, the official pick at 2.5. That's tomorrow. And then the other one is the Man City game, which you nailed last week, right? Man City rolled Bayern Munich 3-0. Do you want any part of this tomorrow, given the aggregate shenanigans?
Yeah. The 3-0 aggregate makes it weird. Basically, a 6-0 City win and a 2-0 City loss are basically the same thing as far as getting through goes. So you just have this wide gamut of stuff. I do lean towards City to win, even though they're on the road and don't need to. I just think they're that much better than Bayern right now. This is not the Bayern team we've seen the past few years. That's one of the top couple teams in the world. They're just not at that level right now. But this is a stay away for me, at least right now, just because there's so many things that could go so many ways. You know, City's down 1-0, like, they don't care. You know, those shut up shop, and they could be okay with that. Or they could decide to go for it. We just don't know. So I'm staying away from this. I do lean towards City. I kind of like the juice you can get, the juicy prices you can get on the under, like plus 150, plus under 2.5, something like that. But it's a stay away for me officially here.
Okay. Today, once again, Real Madrid. From Paul at plus 145, shop around in the Napoli AC Milan under 2.5 goals from Paul Carr. Paul, enjoy the barbecue.
I will. Thank you. See you, Gil.
Paul Carr at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, taking shots at the old Kansas City airport. Unprovoked shots.
Some of these things are incredible. I was in Salt Lake City Airport. I don't know if renovations are still going on. Was there like 9 months ago? What a disaster that was.
Really?
Yeah, where they're like redoing the whole thing, so you got to take like buses. Like, literally on the, like, tarmac to get to whatever terminal that you're going to. It was chaos.
Buses.
But it's always funny when a new one opens up, because I always feel like they try to show off something. It's always, like, usually a restaurant area or a bar area or something.
Dulles Airport in Virginia has been doing buses since the 70s. Once you're at the airport, you're still not at the airport.
that's what it was. Yeah. I landed, and they're like, all right, you're going to exit the airport or the aircraft. Now hop onto a bus, and we're going to bus you over to the terminal.
Except they had a dude at Dulles when I was a kid who used to announce. He was a PA guy, would announce all the flights, and I was obsessed with it. He'd be like, Lufthansa Airlines, all aboard, please. Right? Yeah.
You're right. That's totally a job I could do, too.
Oh, I'd love that. So number two pick, you don't want any part of this, back to the NFL draft. You don't want any part of this at all, do you, at this point? I mean, I feel like I'd just be forcing a bet because I genuinely don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't. I have a hard time personally just believing that we're not going to see Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud 1-2 in some order still. Maybe that's me just holding on too much still, Gil. I'm not saying that I don't believe Bryce Young's going to go number one. But we're really going to pass over C.J. Stroud? Like, have we watched this guy the past couple years? This kid can ball, man.
Just a cut to a shot of once C.J. Stroud gets picked on Thursday of next week. They couldn't believe he was still available.
I've seen mocks with him in the teens at this point. The story is that he's not a very coachable quarterback.
Listen, I don't know.
Here's the
thing with that. Who knows if that's true?
I know, right?
Who knows if that's even remotely based?
Like
on
some
any kind
college
of fact.
Kid is just ignoring NFL coaches' suggestions.
Yeah,
sure.
I don't buy into that. We'll do more of these because we have position totals. We got draft positions. See if there's anything else to bet. We'll review the ones that I have because I'm six deep on these now. With the Stroud one. Looking to be a loser at this point off the top. We'll get to that, but a little hockey break. Andy McNeil rejoins us today. He was 2-1, or at least 1-1 on his picks yesterday. The third one was off to a good start. His thoughts on the quartet of games tonight. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.